Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
Luke chapter 9, verse 48 to 55. And said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And that's to say that they were disciples of Jesus, who even though they were not following the others, but they were still on Jesus' side. They listened to him from a distance, believed in him, practiced his principles, and were able to demonstrate power. Even when some of the disciples who were following up and down were not able to. So, the kingdom of God is not an exclusive reserve for a particular race or a particular group of persons. The kingdom of God becomes tenable, becomes practicable to everyone who will pay heed to the principles. And so John told Jesus, we saw someone casting out devils. I know before now we thought that casting out devils was an exclusive reserve right for us. But you know, we saw another person doing it. And we stopped him and said, who are you? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? How dare you cast out devils around here? Leave the devils for us to cast. This is our work. Don't try that again. It's only those who are working with the master that should do that. Leave the demons, leave the devils. Whenever we come around, we will cast them out. So we stopped that guy. And I'm sure John was thinking that Jesus was going to give him an applaud or commend him for that work. And Jesus said, you made a mistake. Don't forbid him. Because whoever is not against us is for us. Praise God. Whoever is doing what we are doing, whoever is doing what my Father has asked me to do, whether he carries the title disciple or not, is for us. So the ones who are for Christ are not only the ones who carry titles and colors. The ones who are for Christ are not only the ones who have positions in churches, but everyone that have decided to follow the principle and the pattern of the kingdom automatically will be able to demonstrate the power that is available in the kingdom. And then, verse 51, and it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, would thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Now, Jesus was to go to Jerusalem to be killed. But you know, he sent his disciples and said, go prepare me a place in one of the Samaritan cities. And when the disciples got there, the owners of the place would not want to receive Jesus, because they knew that man was bound for Jerusalem, and we don't want to have any problems with the people over there. And so they rejected all the attempts made by James and John to secure a place for Jesus to pass the night. And so the Bible says, when James and John saw that, They were very angry at the people who refused them accommodation. They were angry at the people who would not pay attention to the request of their master. And they went to Jesus and said, "Why not give us permission? And we will command fire now." Praise God. What was in their mind was that we have power enough to kill and to make alive. And so let's use the power to kill people. If you will not listen to us, we'll deal with you. Praise God. That would have become magic. But Jesus said, "You don't know the kind of persons you are. You need to cool down." Praise God. So we want to look at dealing wisely with the pressure of life. Dealing wisely with the pressure of life. Whether you like it or not, life on itself comes with its own pressure. Even though everybody wants to live and nobody wants to die, while you are alive, there are pressures that being alive comes with naturally. But what do we do? Some persons have collapsed under pressure. James and John here and the other disciples, they were under pressure. The pressure of rejection. The pressure of not being able to have their way. The pressure of delay in their supplies. Immediately they were under pressure, they wanted to react. Jesus said, "That's not how to react. You must learn how to deal with pressure." One of the factors that communicate your strength is your ability to make decisions based on your reason and not as a result of exerted pressure. One thing that shows your strength of character, one thing that shows your strength in the Word of God, is your ability to make decisions not based on the pressure that is exerted on you, but based on good reasons. Some persons have made decisions under pressure. Some persons have decided what to do, not before thinking about it, but just because they were under pressure to do so. There are some people that believe that you can lie, provided the lie will not hurt anybody. And some they will cite Abraham, Isaac, and all of that. That you know they lied and got themselves out of problem. So, you can lie if the lie is not hurting anybody. But what shows your strength of character, what shows your strength in the Lord, is the fact that you are able to make decisions that are not based on the pressure of life. You are able to make decisions not just because you don't have a job, but you are able to make a decision based on good reasoning. It is the decisions you make per time that makes you, that forms the clothes that you wear. Your decisions is what would define you. Decisions have taken some people from township to the village. Decisions have also brought some people out of the village into township. Decisions have made millionaires to become beggars. Decisions have also made beggars to become millionaires. Decisions have turned boys into men. And decisions also have turned men into boys. Decisions have also turned boys into fathers. Decisions have also made fathers to become like children. So your decisions is what make you, and you cannot be better than the decision you take. Your decision will either make or mar you. Your decision will determine the course of things in your life. Now, why I'm saying this is because it's important that when you want to make a decision, you should ensure that you are not making that decision out of pressure.
pressure to be married. And as a result, you will just say yes to any Tom, Dick, and Harry, regardless of God's position. Pressure to just have something doing. And as a result, you could take a job that will not even allow you to do anything for yourself and do anything for God. Pressure to just have a house that is called your own. You have lived with a friend and he's been insulting you all this while. And you are under pressure to just rent a place. And suddenly a house comes out from one slum. And you say, I would rather stay in this slum than to stay with this my friend and keep receiving this insult. And then you pay the money and then get into that area and begin to live, only to discover few weeks after, 3 months after, that was the worst decision you made. That you could have waited a little bit. Pressure. So we must be very, very careful that you don't make a decision out of pressure. But your decision must come out of a deep-seated reasoning, a deep-seated meditation, that I am making this decision with my sound mind. That's why one of the things that God gives us is the spirit of a sound mind, that you are very sound in your mind while making the decision. If I don't marry him, people will say, these people have known each other for 10 years. How come they never got married? Your decisions will determine the course of things in your life. It can either elevate you or demote you. If decisions are still made on your behalf, you are not yet mature. There are people that all the decisions, in fact, major decisions in your life, people are making it on your behalf. No matter how old you are, no matter what your birth certificate is stating, if decisions in your life are being taken for you by people, you are not yet matured. Praise God. It is somebody that will have to tell you that it is time. You see, you have grown enough to be married before you start thinking of how to get married. Somebody will have to tell you, you see, by now you should do this and do that. No. You must grow to that point where you are taking and making decisions for yourself. Let's look at the book of Galatians chapter 4 verse 1 and 2 to buttress the point that if decisions are still being made for you, no matter who is making it on your behalf, it means that you are still small. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. The heir, the one who is the rightful owner of the property, as long as he is a child, he will be kept under the strict supervision of supervisors, teachers, and tutors who will make decisions for him. So it is only a child that people will help take decisions for. It's only a child that somebody will decide the kind of clothes you wear to church on Sunday. It's only a child that will have that done by people. But as you grow up, you should be able to decide for yourself what is important and what you must do. If decisions are not made, nothing will be done. If decisions are not made, nothing will be done. It is until you make a decision and take a decisive step, then you begin to see action. But until you make that decision, nothing can be done. It was a decision in heaven that made Jesus to come. It was a decision that Jesus made that allowed him to go all through the road to Calvary. So if you don't make a decision, you will not move forward. It's either you decide, I'm going to marry next year, I'll start my building next year, I must start a course, I must do this, I must do that. You must make decisions. Otherwise, nothing will be done, nothing will move forward. If you must advance, your decisions will be the decider. It therefore becomes important for you to know what should necessitate your decisions. Decisions will lead to advancement. Decisions can also lead to stagnation. So you must now know what must necessitate my decisions. You must understand the why behind your decisions. Why did I decide like this? Why did I choose to leave town and go to Irebe to rent a house? What is the reason behind it? You must know why you are taking the decisions you are taking. Let your decision not be based on just the immediate things, but look at it 2 months after, 3 months after, look at it a year after, and then you can be able to take a solid decision. So let your decision not just be made. You must know the why. Why do I take this decision? Why have I decided that my children will not go to the school next door to me, but I will take them to a school that is far away? There must be a why behind your decision. Leave out some fraction of time to ponder on your decisions before you make them. Take time. You shouldn't be under any pressure to just do something. You will not be a lazy person or a fool to take time to look at things over and over again. In fact, it is a wise man that will tell you, give me some time, let me think about it. And some people believe that I can just supply the answers here. But a wise man will say, give me some time. Even though he knows the answers, give me some time. Let me ponder over my action. Let me ponder over what I want to say. Let me look at it upside down. Let me look at the pros and the cons of it. Let me look at it 2 years from now, 3 years from now. And then I will come to a safe conclusion. So, you must leave out a fraction of time in which you will consider, meditate on your decisions, ponder on them before you make them. It is inevitable for pressure to come, so you must be strong to manage them. Don't forget, we are looking at how we can deal wisely with the pressure of life. Pressure will come. Life itself comes with its own pressure. There is no new level that doesn't come with a new pressure. You just got a car today. Everybody's excited. You know that you've just gotten a responsibility. Why you are excited? You know the pressure that will come with it. Sometimes you will need to feel it. Sometimes you need to change the tires. Sometimes you need to do some body work. Sometimes you have not hit somebody and somebody has just come from behind and hit you and the person is running away. And all of that, the pressure will come. So you must know how to deal wisely with pressures that will come. It is inevitable that pressure will come. So don't bow to pressure and say, I must get it done. Praise God. When somebody knows that you are under pressure, something you are supposed to get 50,000 for, he can tell you 30,000 or you leave it. And then it's going. You are just thinking, if I get 30,000 now, something will be okay. And you get the 30,000 and then you've lost it permanently. So we must understand that. Ponder on your decisions before you take them. If you cannot manage your pressure properly, then you are not yet the kind of man that God desires. If you cannot manage your pressure properly, I told us in Luke chapter 9, how James and John told Jesus, permit us to command fire now. Let's kill these people and let the way be clear. What did the people do to them? They refused to give them their house. Was the house your own? Praise God. You come to my house and said, can I use your house for a party? I said, no. Why will you want to command fire and kill me? Praise God. They had their house and they said, we don't want to give it to you. But because those disciples thought that they had power to command everything commandable. In fact, what they should have told Jesus would be, give us permission to command a building to land from heaven so that we can use it for our party. But they said, give us permission to command fire to kill them so that they will know next time we ask another person for something, they will know that those guys, they carry fire, give it to them. Praise God. They were under pressure. They didn't want to be seen as people that have failed. They didn't want to be seen as people that are rejected. You know, sometimes the fear of rejection, the fear of failure will make us take decisions that will not help us in the future. Amen. For instance, when we are in the university, there are some people that came to school hoping to get admission. And somehow, they didn't get the admission or they didn't get the courses they wanted to. And the fear of getting back home for people to say, so you finally didn't read engineering. They decided to settle for diploma or something that they don't even love, something they don't even like. They just say, let me settle for it. All I want so that somebody knows that I am in school. Praise God. And then you find them doing what was not even in the agenda to do at all. And they are not happy with themselves. They are not happy with tomorrow. The only thing they have going for them is that at least they can be able to face people and say, yes, I'm in the higher institution. Praise God. Pressure. The fear of being rejected. The fear of being looked down upon has made people take decisions that didn't help them. There are parents that have sent their children home only because they were told that, well, your salary is going to be cut down. They said, well, let me send my family home first so that whatever happened, we know how to manage from there. Praise God. Pressure. Some persons have left their jobs just because they were under a little pressure. And said, let me go and stay at home. It is better to be in the house. Only to discover that staying in the house, after 1 month, 2 months, something will tell them it would have been better you took that job. Praise God. Why will you want to leave something for nothing? Is it a good decision to take? Not at all. You leave something that is working for something that is not there at all. So it is better to keep holding onto it until something goes up. Praise the Lord. So if you cannot manage your pressure, then you are not yet the kind of man that God deserves. Pressure will come from your spouse. Pressure will come from your children. Pressure will come from your in-laws. Pressure will come from family members. Even your friends will inflict some. But by and large, you must have the capacity to withstand pressure in making decisions. Pressure will come from everywhere. Your husband, your wife, your children, your in-laws, your friends, your colleagues. Make you look like you have not achieved anything. Make you look like you are nobody. But you must be willing, you must be ready, you must be able to withstand the pressure. I said, don't worry. You know, Job was under pressure from his friends, from his wife. They told him so many things. Said, Job, if you are a man of God like you used to say, all these things will not be happening to you. Job, all this while we never knew that you were committing sin secretly. And we thought you were righteous. Now look at it, you have been exposed. And they talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. But Job held his integrity. He was able to stand under that pressure. And said, no, I'm not going to say anything bad or evil. He told his friends, you don't understand what you are talking about. And little wonder, God had to tell Job, go and pray for your friends. The friends of Job talked themselves into sin. They talked themselves into a bad place with God. And God had to tell Job, amongst all of them, you are now more righteous. Go and pray for them. Praise God. So pressure will come from everywhere. You must be strong enough to stand the pressure. You must be strong enough. You know, sometimes you alone will have to make 5 decisions in split seconds or split moments. This one is calling from home. This one is calling from school. This one is calling from this way. And then all the pressure is on you. Some persons have committed suicide at that point. Some persons have decided this thing is over. Some persons have left their positions at that point. I'm not going to do this thing again. This is too much for me. There are pastors that have closed their churches and said, no, I didn't bargain for this. pressure led Abraham to go into Hagar, and this gave birth to the spirit of the born woman that we are facing today, a mistake that we are still paying for up till now. That's what pressure can do. It wasn't just a one-day thing that Sarah walked up to Abraham and said, you see, we have a maid here. Both of us are old, and especially myself, I won't be able to conceive. Why not take her up as your wife, and then she will bear children on my behalf? It wasn't a one-day thing. Sarah kept the stubborn Abraham on it. It wasn't like Abraham was waiting for the opportunity to jump at it. Sarah came and told Abraham, and Abraham pondered and pondered. Sarah kept nagging. Sarah kept doing everything to ensure, and Abraham fell under that pressure and said, well, let me do it. And he did it, and it led to a mistake that we are still paying for. Praise God. Another time, Sarah also came and said, the way that boy is talking is going to be a problem to this my own son now. Send that boy away and send the mother away. What a hard decision. And I'm sure that it wasn't easy for Abraham. Abraham said, my own son now, how do I send the both of them away? Abraham pondered on it until God showed up and told Abraham, what your wife has said is correct. Send the both of them away. Praise God. Any decision you make under pressure will always contend with the big picture of God. Any decision taken under pressure will always have a way of contradicting with God's picture. It will have a way of not agreeing with what God wants you to do. Joseph would have taken such a decision when he was under pressure to lay with Potiphar's wife, but he stood his ground. He said, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to melt under this pressure. I will stand my ground. I will take the best decision out of this. If you make a decision out of pressure, it will not always agree with what God wants. So you must be careful. John the beloved asked Jesus to allow them bring down fire from heaven because of the pressure of rejection by the people. But Jesus rebuked him. Moses struck the rock because of the pressure that came from the people. Samson decided to tell Delilah the secret of his power because of the pressure of love. Pressure is the opposite of peace. God will never be under pressure to do things, and we must take after him. Praise God. God doesn't answer us because we shout and cry. He answers us because what we are demanding tallies with his will. And then God will say it will be done. Otherwise, the rate at which the children of Israel were shouting and crying in Egypt, God would have showed up before 400 years to answer them. Rather than coming before 400 years, he even gave them extra 30 years on top of it. So God is never under pressure to perform. And so we must take after him. There is pressure of performance. Sometimes people want you to be what you are not. People want you to be what you are not capable of. Pressure of praise. You go to a place with some good money in your pocket, and then the MC begin to tell everything and say everything that he knows about you and what he doesn't know. What he's talking about is so that you can bring money from your pocket. And you have seen some people finish the money of their family in such occasion because they were called names and titles that they have never dreamed of before. Praise God. He says, see that man coming? He is a big man. He's this and that. And as they are saying, you are just doling out money. That's pressure. Performing under pressure. God has never performed under pressure. It would have been easy for God to create the entire world in one day. The same way he spoke the fish into the water, he would have spoken everything into existence in one day. But it took his time. It took his time from one stage to the other. Praise God. He never performs under pressure. So we as God's children must take after him. Pressure is the opposite of peace. When you begin to lose peace, understand that you are under pressure. When you begin to lose peace, You are no longer stable. Pressure is mounting on you. And you must do everything possible to stabilize yourself. Because if you make any decision under that atmosphere, it's likely going to be a wrong decision. Praise God. Have you ever drive past in the road and another driver is calling you all sorts of names? You are under pressure to respond to him sometime. Pressure. And so we must be careful so that we take after God. Allow the Spirit of God to brood over you and to calm every storm in your life. Allow God to take over your heart, take over your mind, calm things in your mind before you make decision. Don't make that decision when you are that angry. He said, because of this, I am going back home immediately. Why is this landlord behaving as if he's the only house owner in this world? My father has a house. I have a house at home. Pack the things home. Praise God. And sometimes, the money that you would have used to pack the things home, if you add some money to it, it can help you to secure another place. But you just want to show someone that it's not only you that have house. So allow the Spirit of God to take over a little bit. Give the Spirit of God a little time. And you see, you will come. Enrich your total being with the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, let us renew our heart. Renew our spirit. When the heart is much reached out for, that still small voice, the comfort of the Holy Spirit will come. When you can listen to that still small voice, you will hear the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do without making decisions, but put your trust in God. Jesus was calm to wait until the time when it was ripe before he went to see Lazarus. He told Jesus, Lazarus is sick. And Jesus said, don't worry, we will see him at the right time. Lazarus is sick, don't worry, we will see him at the right time. He was calm. All the pressures didn't move him until when it was time, he went to see Lazarus. Don't perform under pressure. The devil came and told Jesus, if you be the Son of God, command the stones to turn to bread. And Jesus said, no, you are not going to get me there. Only God knows how many lives have been lost as a result of decisions made under pressure. Ask God for help. Whenever you want to make a decision, seek out the will of God and anchor your decision on it. Always take out time to pray. God, I want to decide which school my children will go. God, I want to decide the place I will live. Lord, help me to make the right decision. God, I want to decide who I will get married to. Help me to make the right decision. Help my choice to be right. Let God's will lead you and not what people say. That's another thing that put people under pressure. What people are saying. What would they say if the steam is still living in one room? What would they say if I present this kind of man to my friends as the man who wants to marry me? What will they say? Praise God. I was told of a lady who had two men who wanted to marry them. The other man placed her under so much pressure, gave her his ATM card, and said, you can withdraw money at will. He's working in the oil firm. And she can go there sometime, withdraw 100,000, 50,000. In fact, while they were still dating, she was able to send all her sisters through the school. And finally, they got married. Now, she's under pressure to leave the marriage. The ATM card that was given to her free of charge that time, now she's even looking for it. Praise God. The man has gotten her. So, you must be careful that you allow the Spirit of God to brood in your heart. I don't say, what will people say? I want somebody presentable. The voice of the people is not the voice of God. You must understand that. The voice of the people is not the voice of God. People will say the voice of the people is the voice of God. It's not true. Oftentimes, God is not always with the majority. Many times, 99% of the time, God doesn't side with majority. A lot of time, God is always alone on his decision. So as far as God is concerned, majority will not carry the vote. God doesn't side with majority. God does not approve what is popular. It is not what is popular that is right with God. God only stands for what is right. Sometimes the majority will do what is right and God will side them. But most of the time, the majority will do what is wrong. And then people will say, because everybody is doing it. Everybody is saying it. Peace and tranquility comes from God. The scripture says that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Do not let what you see guide you, but be led by the revelation of God for that matter. 2 Kings chapter 6, when the armies of the Syria came to arrest Elisha, he was not disturbed. He only leaned on God, and he was not let down. And everyone that ever managed their pressure well had this common thing. They looked at the sure word of God and made their decisions based on the word of God. They came to arrest Elisha, and Gehazi said, "We are finished." Elisha was not under any form of pressure. He said, "Don't worry. God is able to deal with this issue." You remember when the angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah to rescue Lot? They were in the house of Lot. And those men came around and told Lot, "Bring out those guys. We need to deal with them the way we deal with other people." And Lot was busy begging. He said, "Please, these are my visitors. Spare them. Rather than do anything with them, I have two beautiful daughters. I will give my daughters to you. Whatever you want to do, do with my daughters, but save my visitors." The men were still talking and shouting outside while the angels were inside. They didn't know those guys were not ordinary human beings. And Lot was begging. And after a while, the angel tapped Lot and said, "Enter the house. Let's deal with this matter." And the angels smote all of them with blindness. And they were blind. So while Lot was under pressure, he would have donated his innocent daughters for nothing. Praise God. Under pressure. So we must be careful to deal with our pressures wisely. Pressures of finances. Pressures of lack. Before you start borrowing from Tom, Dick, and Harry, settle down. Take some time, think about it. Some persons have gone to borrow money with interest that is even far greater than what they are borrowing because they are being under pressure. Say, let me just borrow it. You are borrowing 50,000 and the interest in 1 month is 25,000. You say, let me just get it. Let me just get it. And you get the 50,000, you are forgetting that in the next 1 month, that 50,000 is turning into 75,000. The next month is turning into 100,000. Before you know it, you are so much in debt because you were under pressure to just get it done. Praise God. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, it will help you make a fine decision. And there is nothing as good as making the right decision. It secures your future for you.
Your grace has found me just as I am. Empty hand above love in the land. We'll sing and